steal other people's ideas, so I'm giving him credit. Yeah. He just called me on my cell phone, so I'm going to give him credit for the point, all right?
I heard him make I heard him all the way from over here making sure you gave him the credit.
Yes, I got to get, look, if
tell him I said so.
Tell him I said so. Well, yes, so what Nicholas just said to me, and it's a very good point, and the point is, if the New York Giants ran their business the way he runs his successful businesses in New Jersey, they would have already interviewed the two minority candidates they have to, so they didn't have to play the game and risk some other team doing that while they're not doing it.
Right.
In other words, be prepared.
Yes.
So if the Giants had already interviewed either a female candidate or two minority candidates or some combination of the two,
outside from
they would have already been done with the Rooney Rule.
Yes.
And if they wanted Harbaugh today,
yes,
they could get him today.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
No, they didn't.
And to be fair, I'm not sure anyone did. But
no,
they
didn't.
No, I don't
think anybody did. And here's the question to that point is, isn't that the benefit of firing the coach midseason?
You would think.
Like, you would think part of the reason, and when they fired him, they said he's going to be on, you know, Joe Shane's going to be doing the coaching search.
Yeah.
I assume part of the coaching search now, they can't go, they've lined up Vance Joseph, they couldn't have gone to talk to him. But, and you know, they could have spoken to Mike McCarthy this time, or other candidates, no doubt. I don't know who they could have spoken to. Forget even just the Rooney Rule. Just starting the process early to get some names in. But you're right. They could be underway.
And by the way, they could have gone to any minority, whether they're a legitimate candidate or not.
Well, I mean, I know.
Like, you could have said, hey, Jason McCourty.
Is that the perception,
we love you on TV. We want to talk to you about being our head coach. Yeah. It's all nonsense.
I know.
Which
but
is why...
is that the perception they're afraid of?
Who cares about perception? Yeah. I'm trying to get the best available coach. And look, you can't worry about perception at this level of sports. You can't. Yeah. Because people are going to criticize you no matter what you do.
Right.
Right? Like, we're going to criticize you because you brought in a minority candidate and they never had a chance. Right? Yeah. The Brian Flores situation from a few years back.
Well, I mean,
we're going to criticize you for the guy you did hire, the guy you didn't hire. If you worry about perception, you can't play in this sandbox. You just can't.
Yeah.
So if I was the Giants, and again, I'm saying this after the fact, was not my idea, but I happen to agree with it.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have known that Harbaugh was going to be available.
No.
But I think you could have guessed that Stefanski was going to be available. McCarthy, obviously,
whomever,
has been available. Why not get the Fregazi interviews out of the way?
Yeah.
Because you're going to be fined and lose a draft pick if you don't do it.
Right.
So just do it to say you did it.
They should have already started this coaching search. That's the whole point of firing.
Now,
Brian Dable
I'm not
early.
Sure if you're all allowed to
Joe
do
Shane.
The minority interviews during the season with an interim coach. I don't know that, because one of the rules is actually that if you have a minority or a woman on your staff and you interview them, that does not count towards the Rooney Rule.
No, it's got to be outside the organization. Yes.
Yes, it has to be outside the organization.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely they absolutely could have. They should have. They should have fired Joe Shane and started this whole process a brand new middle of the season. I don't know if they didn't want to show disrespect to Kafka with an. I don't know if that's.
He had to know he wasn't keeping the job.
I mean, it is awkward.
Matter of fact, he cost them the number one pick.
I mean, you're going to tell him he's going to interview for the job at the very least, right? You know, he's at best your interview, and you're not guaranteed anything.
I would say this, Coach Kafka.
Yeah,
we're going to interview you, but we're not going to hire you.
Right.
Now, if you don't want to go through that interview, we respect that. We get it.
Yeah.
You're probably also going to be let go by whoever the new coach is.
Right.
So get your resume ready. Go get a job as soon as you can. We respect that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to go through the BS interview so that you have more experience being interviewed for a head coaching job, so that maybe it helps you with another opportunity, we will do that and give you all we got.
Right.
But Kafka knew full well.
Yeah.
And listen, when the Raiders kicked that field goal, all right, and beat the Kansas City Chiefs last weekend.
Yeah.
Mike Kafka cost you the number one pick overall.
No, he certainly did.
So
get him the hell out of here. Listen, he showed incompetence. He's not the coach. We all know that now.
Right.
But I'm saying the Giants might not want to show him any disrespect. But you know what? You're not wrong.
Right.
But from this moment on, can I give you another Teddy Roosevelt comment? A quote that's attributed to him?
I can get a Teddy or Eleanor?
A Teddy.
Okay, give me the Teddy one.
It's time to speak softly and carry a big stick.
Okay.
Let's go.
That was Truman, but
no,
fair
it
enough.
Wasn't. No,
all
it wasn't.
Good.
That was Teddy Roosevelt.
All good.
I'm pretty sure it's Teddy
Roosevelt. I don't want to embarrass you, so
no.
Let's just pretend it was Teddy.
No, I'm feeling pretty smart right
now
that I knew that one.
Let's just pretend it was Teddy.
I was hoping you were going to give me a different one than that, because that's the only one I know.
You know Eleanor Roosevelt's greatest quote of all time? And I love it. I live it.
Yes,
I live by
it. You've told me before, but go ahead, please.
Other people's opinions of me is none of my business.
Yes. It's a great line.
Except on Twitter. It is every single day I have to read this crap.
It's a great line. But let's speak softly, carry a big stick, and go get the coach they want. And there that's Harbaugh. Go get him.
All right. There you go. Gary's in Brick House on the Fan. Gary, what's up?
The Brick House. Welcome back, Gordon.
Thank you.
We can mess something up, though. The thief of joy is actually Big Mac.
Anyway, let me get to
my 2 points.
I love it.
My 2 points regarding McCarthy and Harbaugh, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Okay.
McCarthy already had his second chance. Think about this. Harbaugh has not. So there's a little unfinished business as far as that's concerned. Mm-hmm. And Big Mac, you got to agree, we hated, literally hated McCarthy when he was the coach of the Cowboys.
Yeah, you should have. Right. You also hated Wade Boggs when he played for the Red
exactly
Sox.
Exactly right. I hated Roger Clemens, too.
Well, true, but I don't want him in my building.
I don't really care about that.
Gary, I'll say this. I don't agree with the sentiment, but I don't think he's alone in it.
Right.
I think there's a number of Giant fans. Look, you hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So this guy was associated with the Dallas Cowboys. By default, we'd rather not take a reject from the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but he's not alone in thinking that.
This is to your point before.
Yeah.
The Giants, unfortunately, for the last decade, we are not above taking some other organization. I don't care if it's the Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys.
Didn't Emerson Walls win a Super Bowl with the Giants?
I don't really give a damn. I have no problem hiring someone. The guy has won a Super Bowl. He went to Dallas and had three straight 14-win seasons, right?
Like 12-win seasons.
12-win seasons, excuse me. Three straight 12-win seasons. That's better than anything the Giants have come close to forever. I have no problem. And you know who I hate? I hate Garrett. Jason Garrett, who came here and ruined the freaking offense as the offensive coordinator. That's who I hate. I have no problem with McCarthy if he came here and did a good job.
Jason Garrett's interviewing for the Titans show.
Oh, my God. They must be
idiots. They can have him.
They must be idiots. I mean, that's the last guy I would hire. He was atrocious as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
But he had a couple good years in Dallas.
No, that's a terrible hire. You're going to go give him, God help them. If they give Cam Ward Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I happen to like Cam Ward. Terrible year, obviously, but that team was so bad. The coaching was so bad.
I thought he played well.
Remember when Callahan was it week one or two?
Oh, he was
where he literally didn't know the rule?
Yes.
And then at the press conference, he said, no, I know all the rules.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. No, that's possibly one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL.
I'm not sure if it was a challenge or something happened.
I forget what it was, too, but I remember that. He didn't know the rules.
He legitimately did not know the rules.
Yeah,
that's funny. Here's Ryan in Bayport. By the way, coming up at 5 o'clock today, brand new segment here in the afternoons on Wednesdays on WFAN. Do we have it? Can we tell people the name of the segment? Do you have that ready to go yet or no? You do? All right, after the call, we'll tell people what it is. Go ahead, Ryan. What do you got?
Gentlemen, what's going on? Congrats to you both.
Thank you, Craig. Welcome back.
C-Mac, this is a side note, but you got to pick a name, man. The show is The Carton Show with Chris McMonagle. He calls you Big Mac. You call yourself C-Mac. You're in the big chair.
I don't call myself anything. I don't speak in third person. So
you got to pick a name. That's besides the point.
He's like Prince.
That's it. I'm like Prince. I'm like Apollo Creed, Babe Ruth. I got plenty of them.
Yeah. take the day, decide on one. We'll go from
there. Fair enough.
The reason for my call, so Craig, been following you since you left, and now you're back, couldn't be happier.
Thank you.
But I do, I'm an Eagles fan. I appreciate your respect for Jalen Hurts lately.
I think he's the most underappreciated quarterback in the history of football.
I love it. You know, that was before you left, that wasn't your take, but I do appreciate it now. I love it. But is there a world where this weekend the Eagles get blown out by the Niners, Sirianni gets the boot, and the Eagles steal Harbaugh from the Giants?
Yes, I do. By the way, I don't think it would take a blowout for that to happen because it's unlikely that defense gets blown out. They're a really good defense in Philadelphia. And we'll talk more about those games, obviously, later tomorrow and Friday for sure. You may even have picks on whoever it is.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a possibility that if the Eagles do lose, there's been so much drama in Philly, even with the Super Bowl win last year, where I don't think the fan base is still sold on Nick Sirianni. And I want to be fair to Nick. He's the most successful coach winning percentage-wise in the history of the organization and needs to be respected for that. But he's also a douche knuckle. And I would not be shocked. No. This is what I opened the show with.
I know.
That if you told me that the Giants and Harbaugh didn't even come to a wink-wink verbal agreement, you know, this week while he's in town or comes to town to meet with them, that if San Francisco goes into Philly this weekend and beats the Eagles, which is absolutely a possibility, I would not be shocked if the Philadelphia Eagles fired Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petrullo, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator, and brought either Harbaugh in or Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
That would make sense on a lot of levels.
It would not shock me. It wouldn't shock me either, but it is, I'm sorry, it's crazy. The dude might be a complicated guy, and the last 2 of the 3 years they've had such dysfunction, it's amazing. But he's been to 2 Super Bowls. He's won one. They've made the playoffs every year he's been the head
coach. He's the all-time winningest coach percentage-wise.
How in the world do you fire that dude off this year?
I'll tell you why.
I get it, and it scares me because Harbaugh has the connection to Philadelphia. They're clearly as talented a team and run by as smart. And that's what scares me the most.
Howie Roseman's the best in the business.
He's the best in the business, without question. Harbaugh can go there and know full well every year I'm going to have a freaking incredible roster.
And if that offensive line gets healthy, it's not been healthy all year,
they're
the best team in football.
They could easily be the best team in football in the next few weeks. There's no doubt about it.
Which would be a painful lesson for you. Because
we're not drafting 6 offensive linemen.
I'm telling you, you might want to.
I don't want to.
You might want to.
Nah, I don't want
to. Look, if Harbaugh goes to Philly,
you're in
trouble.
No, I'm not.
I think you are.
How am I in trouble?
Because now you have a
now
coach.
Now I have an Eagles team that's always good and wins the division?
No, now you have an Eagles team with a coach you wanted, meaning you think he's a great coach.
I understand that.
I don't think Sirianni's a great coach.
How much better can he do?
It's fair.
How much better can they do? Yes, you're right. I'd be pissed that the coach I wanted left.
Yeah.
But it's not like, the Eagles just went from freaking great Super Bowl champions to what? Great Super Bowl champions with a different head coach?
But look,
like they're freaking. This is the same thing with Saquon Barkley. It's the same thing. I'm tired of this. Yes, he's fantastic. Yes, they won the Super Bowl. You know what? He wasn't doing it for the Giants, and I was getting every single running back they had over the last 20 years running up the Giants' ass. Like, you know, come on. Like every single running back they've ever had beat the Giants.
Right. Which is why this would burn
you. No,
this
burn
would
me.
Be like when the Phillies got Zach Wheeler.
Yeah,
it pisses you off.
No,
that's what it would be like when Philadelphia steals something from New York. It's a problem for us as New Yorkers, is it not?
Not really.
It's not?
I mean,
you don't think
Met
fans
were
pissed when Zach Wheeler went to Philly?
Of course
they were.
No, I got it, Chet.
When Lenny Dykstra went to Philly, and we got Juan Samuel.
It doesn't change.
You don't think that bothered Met fans?
It doesn't change the dynamic. That's what I'm saying. What would bother me?
You hate them anyway.
What bothers me, for example, let's say like the Commanders fire Quinn and he goes to Washington, and now he's transformed them into a team that wins every stinking year.
Yeah,
that's what's going to bother me.
I think Nick Sirianni is one of those examples, and with all the credit he gets for all the winning, and he won a Super Bowl, which puts him in rarefied air amongst current coaches. Right.
Right.
I do think that Nick Sirianni is one of the greatest examples in sports history of that guy won a lot of games because of the talent that the general manager got, not because he's a great coach. I truly believe that. And good for him.
Right.
He's in the right situation.
Right.
It's like, you know what he is to me? Yeah, I'll give you an example you can understand. Mm-hmm. All right? Because I know it's Wednesday. A little slow for you today.
Sure.
All right, here's the example,
I can use the help, please.
All right, Nick Sirianni is the Steve Young of football coaches. How about that? You like that one? Steve Young was
the
a disaster
Steve
in Tampa.
Young?
Great my ass. He was a disaster in Tampa. He goes to the great system in San Francisco, created by the legendary Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
And now he's got Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and Ronnie Lott.
So Joe Montana. Okay. So Joe Montana's not good?
Not as good as people think.
No, come on now. Stop it.
Sometimes you're a product of your environment.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Nature versus nurture.
That's fine. Fine. He's a terrible coach. Whatever the case may be. My point
is... Okay, well, let me ask you a question. If he was available right now, would you want him as your head coach?
He wouldn't be at the top of my list, no.
Thank you.
But you're missing the point,
Craig. Oh, what's the point?
The point is, yes, it would suck that we lost Harbaugh. Yep. It would be bad for the Giants.
Yes.
It doesn't change the dynamic of Philadelphia is better than us. Like, he doesn't go there and
but
transform
it would have
them
to burn
into
you.
Something else. It would burn me.
Not
that
just that you lost him.
Yeah.
But it would burn you who you lost him to. Like, if John Harbaugh winds up going, to the Raiders. I'm making it up, right?
Right.
That doesn't hurt you. It doesn't burn you.
No.
You're upset you didn't get him, but you don't have to worry about it.
But if John Harbaugh goes to the Raiders and turns that fledgling franchise that hasn't been to the Super Bowl.
So what? That doesn't hurt you.
It doesn't hurt me, but it points out what he was capable of with
but
the Giants.
If he does it in Philly, that
Everybody
hurts you.
Everybody does it in Philly.
That burns you right
you
in your core.
You just told me an idiot could go coach the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think I could.
Well, he just did. You just said the idiot has taken them to the Super Bowl twice in the last 5 years.
Yes,
but so then why do I worry if John Harbaugh's going to go there? An idiot could take them to the Super Bowl.
An idiot did.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
So it would burn me that he left for the rival. Don't get me wrong.
Has to burn
it hurts
me.
The Giants because I wanted that coach. But the idea that he goes to Philadelphia and suddenly it's like, oh, my God, he's in Philly. Every year, Philadelphia kicks the crap out of the Giants. So what's changing?
It would hurt if he went to a rival. Much like if Juan Soto had gone to the Cubs. It would suck.
That's a player.
It would suck.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't burn you.
And I wouldn't have to watch him. You watch him play every day. Yeah,
of course.
No, of course. There's a different dynamic.
Right.
It would suck.
You still beat them all the time.
The news cycle. Well, the news cycle would piss me off. And the idea that they lost to Philadelphia, all that crap. But at the end of the day, I lose to Philadelphia no matter who the coach is.
Here's Dave in the Bronx on the Fan. Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Really love the new format
and
show. I just want to get to the Giants. And, of course, I just want to get to the coaching. I think it's a terrible move to go to Harbaugh. I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well consider Gruden and Belichick. I just think going to an older guy compared
He's 62.
To a younger options, yeah, but you want to coach for the next 10 years. The guy's going to be 70.
He can coach for the next 10 years.
I understand that, but what about a young guy? Because the criticism with him with Baltimore was he wasn't relating to Lamar Jackson. You bring him in here, it's going to be the same situation with the quarterback.
Jackson Dart?
Well, Dave, I would say this. I don't think 62 is too old. I think once you're into your 70s, you can start having that conversation. You're talking about men who are young at heart.
And he's in great shape.
I'd love to find the next 38-year-old, of course.
Sure.
They're not easy to find at that age because of the lack of experience at that age. But I would also caution you, don't forget that a lot of the NFL insiders report stories in a way that takes care of the people that give them information. And I can tell you as a fact that Lamar Jackson does not talk to the press, offline.
Right.
He's a different dude. He doesn't have a relationship with Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, the guys that are very good at what they do. But Harbaugh does. The front office does. I know this as a fact.
Yeah.
So when you're now going to tell the story about why things went south in Baltimore between John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, you are going to get it through the eyes of John Harbaugh, not the eyes of Lamar Jackson. Because I can tell you that Lamar Jackson was very frustrated with the coaching and the play calling that he got from Todd Monken in the last couple of years and John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But he doesn't talk to anybody, so there's not a narrative out there from a respected NFL insider on ESPN going, let me tell you what I'm hearing. Because Lamar Jackson is not a big mouth.
No.
And GMs are, and coaches are. Why are coaches big mouths? Because of exactly what's happening right now. If you're willing to give an NFL insider information during the year, the payback is, if and when I'm available, you're going to tell people how many teams are interested in me.
Yeah.
You're going to tell people how I'm now viewed as the number one candidate because you're not going to help me get a job. It is a quid pro quo, and it happens with every franchise in football.
No, there's no. Well, listen, he's not going to have to talk, to be totally honest with you, because when they give him a contract extension, which they're going to have to give him because
he'll be the highest paid player in football.
His number is $70+ million on the cap this year. So they're going to have to extend his contract. So when they fire the coach who's been here for 18 years and won a Super Bowl, and then they go and extend him for the next 7 years and make him the highest paid player in the NFL, you're going to understand there was a problem and you're going to understand who won.
There you go.
I mean, so Lamar Jackson's not going to have to talk. But the idea that you don't want to bring in Harbaugh because he's not going to, like,
because of his age and stuff.
Nonsense.
Coming up at 5 o'clock today, we've got a brand new segment that we're very excited about. And that segment is called... I'm going to try it out.
All right. That sounds like you. That's very
That's
on
coming
brand.
Up at 5 Let's o'clock. Go. That's coming up at 5 o'clock. Well, I promised them I wouldn't bring back Wag Wednesday.
Yeah.
I got to do something new. So, what the F Wednesday?
I miss
Loogie
trying to get guests for Wag Wednesday. That
he
was
actually
one of
wound up doing a pretty good job.
He did
with
a great job with
I
it.
Have to
but
say.
I mean, just.
Not the greatest producer of all time.
The stress levels on that segment were so much fun.
He was on Instagram like he was cheating on his wife.
Yeah. What is all the? It's for work. We always, you know, we say that. Oh, I got to watch the game for work. I can't go to this. I got my Instagram is filled with, you know, who is, because that's my job, honey.
888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show on the Fan.
I'm sorry, Pete. That's my fault. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires, and they honor all manufacturers' rebates. Plus, they even honor competitors' rebates. With more than 120 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires, why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices. That's Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
So, welcome back to the Carton Show. I'm looking at my handy-dandy show sheet here, and I see a couple lines that, you know, caught my fancy. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think that they'll work for What the Bleep Wednesday coming up in a half hour. I'll just give you one for example.
Oh, give us one for example.
So, there's on my show sheet, it says, where is it here? Jane Slater almost burns off her face. So my first thought is, who the hell's Jane Slater?
Yeah. That was my first thought.
Right? And it turns out that Jane Slater is a popular, like, one of those YouTube golfers. Which, by the way, YouTube golf's gotten way out of hand and out of control. It is completely nuts now.
Right.
And I'm not picking any one particular, you know, host or golfer or whatever.
YouTuber.
YouTuber. Like, I respect it. I respect the hustle.
Yeah.
I don't quite get it, to be honest. Like, my son's an 8 handicap, loves golf, watches Good, and watches whomever the other people are. I don't know all their names.
Lucky or?
No, Sonny. Sonny's an 8 handicap.
Okay.
And he loves it. And he's one of those kids, like, I'm surprised he's not doing mornings here at the Fan.
Right.
Like, fell in love with golf. Right, that's all he wants to talk about.
I was waiting for the morning shot. I thought for sure.
Yeah, like, Sonny's like, me and you versus Boomer and Gio. I go, it's not fair. Like, they can't beat us.
Yeah.
Like, because Boomer's about a 6'7", 8", so he and Sonny are close, and I'd beat Gio by 15 strokes, and it just wouldn't be right.
Right.
I know the reaction. I'm not looking. By the way, I want to be clear. I'm not playing golf.
Yeah. Don't ask I would embarrass
myself. I'm not going out with you guys. Obviously, I don't wager anymore. We're not wagering on it. Just take it for what it is.
Yeah.
Sonny and Boomer would probably be close. Yeah, I give Boomer a little edge, to be fair. He's played golf a lot longer than my son. Yeah, but, like, I'm not going to lose to Greg.
Right.
And Greg plays a lot of golf and loves it.
He does. He's obsessed with it.
I play golf five times a year. I'm just really good at it.
Okay.
It's like one of those weird things, like, how did Ray Charles know that he could play the piano? He sat down and he played the piano.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Golf's like that for me.
It just comes natural.
I don't love it.
Right.
I've played a lot of it in my days.
Yeah.
I play maybe 5 rounds a year now, usually for a charity tournament or a buddy like asks, and I have nothing else to do that day. But I'm blessed with being a scratch golfer. I'm a 2, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know. But it's like, and it pisses people off.
I'm sure,
like,
it does.
And I don't know why it bothers people.
It's probably the humility you bring to it.
By the way, I don't talk about golf.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
God just bestowed upon me the gift of just being good at golf.
So did you ever think for a second?
I get no joy out of it.
Then why are you slapping God in the face? Run with that gift. Run with it.
No, God doesn't want you to, you know, only do things you're good at. He wants you to have triumphs and tribulations.
No, I understand that, but I would run. He gave you a gift for a purpose.
But I did. I played a lot of golf for like 3 or 4 years. Right. Never loved it.
Right.
And it became a thing, like, it was like the Harlem Globetrotters. I'd show up in, like, you know, bell bottoms or cargo shorts, and I'd shoot 73. Yeah.
Right.
And it's like,
it's like white men can't jump. No one sees
exactly.
You coming.
Like, that guy's going to play. And I feel bad about it because I see people like Boomer and Greg and my son, you know, who, like, love the sport.
And struggle.
And they're so frustrated by it. And it comes easy to me.
Yeah.
And I get no joy out of that.
Like,
I'm friendly with Doug Wells. Right? Ray Catena, Mercedes, and Edison.
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst golfer next to Joe Beningo I've ever seen. And it frustrates him because he plays a lot of golf with our buddy Vinny Sciorentino, the Taylor. He sucks also.
Mm-hmm.
And I show up.
Right.
I bust out a 75 in due process.
Do you ever, like, you don't, do you ever like just try to take the shine off you and play poorly on purpose just to fit in? Or
yeah,
no?
All the time.
All the time, yeah.
All the time.
I can imagine how difficult
it's
that is.
Like, all right, I'll bogey this hole.
Yeah, just, you know, just to feel like one of the guys.
Yeah. So you don't go home pissed.
Yeah, I get it.
Matter of fact, I won one of Boomer's charity tournaments, and he didn't give me the prize.
Right, the longest, is this the longest drive?
I won that. That was legit. That was at Wingfoot.
Okay.
But he had a tournament for his foundation at Due Process.
Okay.
And the wonderful guys at Garmany, you know, sponsored and did a great job. It was a great day.
Mm-hmm.
But I won.
Yeah.
And when I got up to collect my prize, he refused to give it to me.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, there's no way you shot that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not the one who kept score.
Yeah.
The caddy did.
Yeah.
I didn't, right?
And he, how are you going to cheat in a charity golf?
Right, right.
Come on.
By the way, there's this one classic story, real quick, then we'll get your calls, I promise. So, you know, like Boomer's got a couple great tournaments. It's awesome. Raises a lot of money for CF Research, right? There's another tournament, and they gave away a Mercedes-Benz at, like, if you get a hole-in-one on a par three, right? And there's a group on, there's like a young gal who sits there in a folding chair making sure no one cheats.
Right.
Because it's like an $80,000 car.
Sure.
So this foursome comes off the green, and as they're driving the cart tips over. And they're, like, crushed under the cart. Oh, no! Cart's over! So the girl gets up out of her chair, runs over to where the cart's tipped over.
Yeah.
Guys are injured. Oh, my God, what's happening? You know, trying to help get the cart off the guys. Oh, my God, right? While she's over there, all of a sudden you hear, yeah! Woo! Hole in one!
Yeah.
So now she's like,
did they let you drive the car home or?
No, hold on. So now the young girl's like, oh my God, these people might be dying. I got to help them. But my job is to make sure a real hole-in-one happened or didn't happen. It's an $80,000 car,
yeah.
Right? So she leaves the dead guys or the injured guys. She runs back onto the green and lo and behold, there's a ball in the cup. Hole-in-one. The guy who hit it.
Yeah.
Wins a Mercedes-Benz, $80,000, okay?
Wow.
Everyone's excited. Everyone's talking about it. You're not going to believe this. A crazy hole-in-one.
Wow,
these guys tipped the card. What a crazy tournament. What a crazy day. That night, one of the guys in the foursome had a guilty conscience and couldn't live with himself. And he picked up the phone.
Oh, my God.
And he called whomever's tournament it was,
yeah,
and said, I can't live with myself. I have to come clean. We were all in on it. The foursome that flipped the card,
sure,
did it to distract the girl on the green.
Right.
When they left the hole, they left a ball inside the hole.
Oh, my God.
These guys behind them were in on it.
Yeah.
And I guess they were going to go 10 grand a man.
Yeah.
And one guy was like, I can't live with myself.
Yeah.
And they all went away.
Went away?
Fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So...
that's a good story.
Crazy story,
right?
That's
a crazy story.
Yeah, that being said, we don't talk a lot of golf on this show, and I don't like playing golf. So that's that. All right? Thank you.
Mum's the word.
Appreciate it. All right, Brendan, that being said,
yeah,
if a sponsor wants to yoke us up with an indoor simulator,
yeah,
I might start playing again.
Or give me golf lessons, because maybe I'm going to have to join at some point one of these charity golf events, and I don't want to embarrass myself.
Well, all good. Brendan's in Massapequa on the fan. Brendan, what's up?
Well, first of all, Craig, I got to say, no surprise that you know the guys who tried to steal the $80,000 car and the guy who said that the Giants should have already interviewed two black coaches.
Yep.
No shock that you're friends with these guys. Very, very clear.
I'll eat that one. That's fair.
Good enough. So here's my thing with the Giants.
Yeah.
The reason why McCarthy is just would ruin my day. You want to talk about WTF Wednesday? If I find out on Wednesday that Harbaugh has gone and visited the Eagles because they fired Sirianni, it would just be the worst thing. Because we've been there, we've done it. We had that clown. Remember Ben McAdoo?
Sure. I'll do you one better. Remember Robert Saleh? Remember the story with the Jets that Saleh was getting on the turnpike and going to Philly, and they called and said, "Turn the car around."
Yep.
That's a pressure move. Somebody put the pressure on the Jets for that one. But for the Giants, McAdoo, he's from the McCarthy coaching tree.
Yes.
He's, you know, he tried to turn Eli into Aaron Rodgers. Like, Eli's going to do a three-step drop and fire the ball. It never worked. And it's not going to work.
Yeah, I would say this. Yeah. I think when you consider, look, Brian Daboll was not an incompetent coach, obviously.
No.
He didn't win enough, and the one score losses this past year in a pivotal year cost him his job. But I don't think anyone's going to look back and go that you're going to talk about Brian Daboll in the same sentence as McAdoo. I just don't think that's fair, okay? I would say this about the Giants, and I mean it, and I think you'll agree with me. Whether it's Harbaugh, and maybe they're the leaders in the clubhouse right now in the moment for Harbaugh, or Kevin Stefanski, and let's even add Mike McCarthy, because we know he's meeting with them if he hasn't already, okay? If the Giants wind up with any one of those three, yes, you have a ranking of who you want more than the others. I respect that. But as long as the Giants come out of this hiring process with one of those three guys, they have hired a competent head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's
is that fair?
It is fair. It's going to be still disappointing.
Sure.
I hear what you're saying. But yes, those three guys, any one of those three, I would feel like they're in good hands.
Yep.
And they should be a much improved team. And I think that the quarterback would be in good hands. So yes, without question, any one of those three would
now,
be.
Now, you want Harbaugh first, then you want Stefanski second.
No doubt.
But as long as you get one of those three guys, you're not looking at an Adam Gase type deal.
But as we talked about earlier, I want Harbaugh enough where I am willing to play the game and risk losing the other two. I am.
Yeah.
I'm willing to play the high stakes poker. I want him. I believe the Giants are the best organization out there for him. And I'm willing to play the game and let this weekend play out, because clearly we have to. We have no choice. They haven't gone through the interviews. Let the weekend play out. Let's see what jobs are available. And I would still take my chances. I would wait for Harbaugh. He is the hire I want.
And I meant what I said. You know, it wasn't, again, my idea, but it's a smart idea. Like, you need to bring two minority or female candidates in, like, today, tomorrow. Yeah. And look, I hate doing that because it's a Fugazi interview. They don't have a real shot at the job. Other than the experience of being interviewed, which is a very valuable experience of going through a legitimate interview process, which is valuable. If I'm the New York Giants and I've had a phone call with Harbaugh's agent, who's actually Kevin Harlan's brother, the famous sports announcer, I am making sure in very quick order I am getting two minority candidates in that building before the end of the weekend. Because I know full well when I wake up on Monday, I'm going to have competition that I currently don't have. And I want to be able to say to Harbaugh on Monday, assuming that's the guy everybody wants, we're good. We've gone through the process of the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
Let's get a deal done today.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got 4 days to fly in two Rooney candidates. Do it.
Yeah.
And even if they know it's a sham interview, so what? Do it. Because that's your best shot of getting the coach you want.
And I know your thought about Percept. They're literally being sued for that. They're currently being sued for that. Like
Doesn't mean they're going to lose.
No, it doesn't mean they're going to lose, but that's perception of the organization. You know, you mentioned.
Well, look, it's an organization that's never had a black head coach. That's a fact.
Right.
That's not perception. That's a fact.
No,
now, I'm not sure. I don't think that's why they didn't hire Brian Flores.
No, I don't think it is either.
You know, and by the way, it's a weird situation because we all recognize that there's some interviews you do solely to say that you did them.
Yeah.
Which is what the Rooney Rule is. But the flip side of that is what you referenced yesterday. Without the Rooney Rule, Mike Tomlin's not a head coach.
Correct.
Now, by now, maybe he would have been.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
but he would not have gotten the Steeler job
when
he got the job.
No doubt.
I think he was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, right?
No, he was the defensive backs coach.
Oh, he was backs coach, not coordinator.
Coordinator. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So when they interviewed Mike Tomlin, it was to satisfy the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
And he was so amazing in that interview, as the story obviously goes quite famously, that they were like, we're not going to get anyone better than that.
Right.
That's our guy.
Yeah.
So the Rooney Rule does have its benefits.
There's no doubt about it. Does it need some tweaking or something? But the heart of the rule makes sense.
So you're going to go through two Fugazi interviews, and then on Monday you're going to sign John Harbaugh, and it's a wrap. But the Giants have to go through those interviews first.
No doubt. And again, you keep talking about it. This is a two-way street. If Mike Tomlin becomes available, not only because it works both ways, other coaches the Giants might want. Mike Tomlin is right there with Harbaugh.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Please.
I don't know why that just popped into my mind. If you bring Mike Tomlin in for an interview and want to hire him, do you still have to interview another minority candidate? What's the rule on that?
I think you still have to.
The current rule is a woman or
a minority.
Minority candidate need two of the
two outside your organization.
Correct.
Yes.
So if you decide on a minority candidate or woman,
yeah,
right, on first blush,
yeah,
do you have to still interview another one? Like, what's the ruling on that?
I'm interested. I would think you have. I still think you have to go through the process. Yes, but
like they couldn't. Like if you hired Mike Tomlin, what are they penalizing you for?
Yeah,
right.
That's a good point.
I honestly
don't know the rule. I don't know.
They would penalize you.
I think you have to go. I think you still
because they're greedy bastards. They just want more money.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Here's let's see, Shawnee and Carmel. Shawnee, what's up? Bad connection right there. Sorry about that. They tell me on the hotline is one of my dearest friends on the planet and a guy that knows why Sean Payton refuses to talk to me and will confirm the story that is upset that I said it was the worst Disney movie of all time.
Yes.
Some people call him Stink. I never have. Mr. Mark Schlereth. Marky Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing, man. I've been doing some yard work. It's absolutely beautiful here in Colorado, so I've been out in my yard raking stuff up.
Is that right?
Great.
Nice.
You have 3 feet of snow and you're raking? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, no, we got no snow. We turned into Arizona. I don't know when that happened, but that's where we are right now. So
I love it. I love it.
Yard.
Yeah. So real quick, I appreciate you hopping on. First off, if you had a choice of John Harbaugh, Kevin Stefanski, or Mike McCarthy for the New York Giants, who is your new head coach?
John Harbaugh.
Bang!
I just think John Harbaugh. Listen, one thing about players, like, we're not the smartest group. Yeah,
correct.
Like, I confirmed that for you as I worked with you for a year. You knew. Yes. Like, I mean, your kid can't read. You know, he's a nice kid. He knows how to block people. He knows how to block a three technique. Can't read. Yeah. So they're like we're not. But horse sense is where we have our strength. And you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a guy is full of crap or not, right? Right. If a guy is not authentic, John is hard on you. He will hold you accountable, but he's a relationship builder, and he is that guy, to me, that is no nonsense, no BS, and you have to be the last 18 years and win an average of 10 games a year. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh, unequivocally, he would be my number one choice.
Do you have any insight into what really went down with him and Lamar Jackson? I know we've kind of got it, the narrative through the eyes of, I think, John Harbaugh or his friends, you know, with the attacks on Lamar Jackson the last couple of weeks. But do you have any idea what really went down between those two guys?
I don't really. I have the same thing as you. I've heard they didn't get along in the building, you know, and I think there's, here would be my speculation, because I don't know, Craig, mm-hmm. but I'll give you my speculation. And I talked about it, you know, on the Today. As a matter of fact, I just released the Stink and Drink podcast today, and I talked about this, is that, This is just kind of how I feel about that. I think there comes a time in a quarterback's progression in his kind of lifespan where he says, hey, man, like Russell Wilson in Seattle, that whole let Russ cook was designed and created by Russ and his people, right? Because Pete Carroll was like, no, you're not going to, there's a bunch of stuff that you're not good at, and we're not going to put that in and let you control the line of scrimmage or let you control the game at the line of scrimmage, because that's not what you do well. So we're going to run our system. So that whole let Russ cook thing happened, right? And I think as you get older, you start to see, hey, man, I'm known as this runaround quarterback, and to be taken seriously, I want to be a drop-back guy. Well, Lamar's never been a drop-back guy. And people don't realize this. I think John Harbaugh's record, you can fact check me on this, I might be off on a couple of numbers, but I think his record without Lamar in the playoffs is 8-4. With, yes, Lamar, it's 3-6.
Correct.
So that's, Lamar is not a polished pocket passer. And let me just tell you this. Most people don't know what that means. Most people who watch football and see him complete a pass, you know, over the top where they're not covering him in Pittsburgh and say, see, you guys don't know what you're talking about. He's a pocket, but no, he's not. And he never really has been. And so I think there's this probably speculation. My speculation is I want to be more of a pocket guy. I want to be, you know, it's almost like, Pinocchio, I want to be a real boy. And you're like, no, you're not. You're not a real boy.
Right.
This is where you excel. And, you know, I understand wanting to grow, but, you know, John might just have said, hey, listen, that's not what you are, so we're not doing that.
Well, that begs the question about Jackson Dart. And I can confirm that you're not stupid, because if you remember, I spoke to you at Fanatics Fest, and you told me that Jackson Dart should have started from day one, and you were 100% correct looking back on it now. I wish they would have started him from day one. But if John does take over the New York Giants, which I, first off, do you agree with the perception out there that right now the Giants are as good a job available to any head coaching candidate? And second, how do you view him dealing with Jackson Dart, who specifically said, I am not a pocket passing quarterback?
Yeah, which to me is great.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, let's put the things in that best suit your skill set.
Yeah.
That's great. But let's make sure we protect ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that you're not running around like an idiot, like Scataboo does. Let Scataboo be the idiot and take the beating, right? We only want him for 3 years anyhow.
Right,
so
yeah.
Let's let him do that. And then, you know, but you, we need for a little bit longer. So it's perfect from an implementation standpoint of what you can do and what you've done, you know, all these years with Lamar. So I think that part is perfect. And then to go back to your, you know, I did this also. It's funny. We're all on the same page. I did this on the podcast. I thought the Baltimore Ravens were probably the number one job
right.
available right now, but the Giants were my number two job.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Giants in that, let's face it. There's something that stinks in Philly, right?
Yep.
And
by the way, I think there's a chance if the Eagles lose to the Niners this weekend, I would not be shocked if the Eagles pick up the phone for John Harbaugh.
No.
Yeah, so that was the other thing. Adam Schefter reported, you know, once that went down with John Harbaugh, that seven teams had reached out to his agent.
Mm, right.
And I'm like, wait a minute, there was only six openings, right. right? So yeah.
I think it's been kind of reported that it was the Dolphins now. Is that okay. Is that mystery team?
But yeah, so I'm telling you, the Eagles don't love Nick Sirianni.
How does Coach Pedal Pusher feel about that?
He was busy listening to Biggie Smalls. He doesn't even know.
Yeah. Okay, good.
By the way, so I get Schlurry tickets for Fanatics Fest, and he spends the day talking to you?
Yeah, he came on.
How does that work out? And, Mark, will you confirm the story for my partner, Big Mac, here, that the reason Sean Payton won't talk to me is that I said that it was the worst Disney movie of all time?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the reason. It may go deeper than that. right now, Sean and I have been tight for a while, although right now he's not answering my text messages because I probably said something about how bad his office has looked. And I'm on the Craig Carton list right now. So I call Sean and I'm like, hey, dude, do me a favor. We just started this new TV show that was canceled. And so we just started this new TV show. I want you to be the first guest. He's like, absolutely no problem at all. Anything for you. And apparently anything for you means anything for you as long as Craig Carton isn't involved. Because as soon as he found out Craig was involved, he's like, hey, I'll do anything for you except that. I'm not coming on the show with that guy.
See, there you go. Well, look, you know I love you. Everyone should check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast that he does with Mike Evans out there in Denver. And look forward to seeing you. Best to your beautiful wife and the kids and grandkids. And appreciate you coming on for a couple seconds.
Love you, brother, man. Always good to catch up, bud.
Yeah. Mark Schlereth, everybody, who got to the final 150 for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame, but that was pretty cool. Like, you know what, brother? Another guy that we'll have on the show who I think is going to get into the Hall of Fame this year?
Who's that?
T. Suggs.
Yes.
Terrell Suggs is a finalist. And I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
So he was on our show on Fox as well. And, you know, for some guys, the first time you're on TV in that manner, it can be a little intimidating, the lights, the cameras. You know, you have a limited amount of time to get an opinion out there. You know, it's not like long form like this is, right?
I know.
And I remember the producers went to me after the first day, and they go, man, you were great. We need more T-Sizzle and less Terrell Suggs. He goes, I got you. The next day, he was on again, cursing like a settler. And they're like, let's T-Sizzle. Really, I like him.
That's
though.
Funny. No, a force. Absolutely. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I do too. Tonight, fans get the first look at who's heading to Fanatics Fest 2026, returning July 16th through the 19th. By the way, they chose those dates because it coincides with the World Cup. So if you're a soccer fan, there'll be a lot of well-known soccer players attending Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City. And tonight at 6:30, New York Giants running back Cam Scataboo is going to reveal the first lineup of talent that is committed to being at Fanatics Fest. He'll do that exclusively on his Twitch stream. The names are going to drop in real time. And you, the fans, will see it happen first. So watch live tonight on Twitch and find out who's headed to Fanatics Fest this July.